Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
My name is Nzinga Kunta, standing in for Google Tumfupi. Thanks so much for being with us. Remember, you can text us, 36959 is our number, and also drop us a voice note on 063-688-0959. Our next topic, I know, may resonate with a lot of people. It's about stress, burnout, and how to deal with toxic colleagues, toxic leaders, because that has an impact on how you conduct the rest of your life. For people who have so-called 9-to-5 jobs, you spend most of your day at an office, and what happens in that office also comes home with you. So if you have a fantastic work environment with understanding colleagues, collegial spirit among you and collaboration, then obviously other parts of your life are not impacted negatively. But if, like some people, you work in an environment where you either feel taken for granted or you feel overworked and underpaid, or you deal with people who are purposefully malicious towards you, then that impacts your sense of self, your mental health, and that's going to bleed into your home life and your general well-being. So tonight we'll be speaking to Professor Renata Schoeman in just a few moments about what the workforce culture like is in South Africa and how to deal with those challenges. I know I saw something quite heartbreaking online yesterday where someone was crying out for help in a different way. It wasn't very obvious initially when you saw it, but essentially they're having a really hard time and it's playing out on a global stage. And that's what happens, you know, your mental health suffers in a way that you can't control even. And then a little bit later on, we're going to be speaking about medical aid. Apparently, there's a crisis coming when it comes to that, an impending crisis. We don't want to be too dramatic about it. But Discovery's also said today that they've seen a decrease, quite a small one, but a decrease in the amount of people who are using medical aids. We'll speak about credit and so much more. For now, we're joined by Professor Schoeman in just a moment. But on the issue of medical aids, we'll be speaking to Lesego Kampe. He's the Executive Director of Corporate Advisory Services at ASI Financial Services about that medical aid. What we're seeing, or what Discovery was saying, is that they're seeing people move away and move to perhaps cheaper medical aids or different and dynamic medical aids. Because as we speak about on the show and in our day-to-day lives, maybe the rand is not doing what it used to. The impact of inflation on our salaries and just so many global factors affecting us here in South Africa means that people have to think about where they spend their money, how they spend their money, and what priorities are. And then we're going to speak to Andrew Fulton, director at 8020, about the credit market. For now, let's have our Careers Corner.
Careers Corner on Kaya Biz.
All right, Professor Renata Schoeman, thanks for your time. She's the head of MBA in the healthcare leadership at Stellenbosch Business School. Can you just take us through what people need to think about when it comes to leadership in the workplace in a South African context?
Good evening. I think the past couple of years, we really were able to get the conversation about mental health being wealth in the workplace to the fore. And that's maybe the only positive thing that came out of the COVID pandemic, where there was really an increased awareness that leaders cannot ignore mental wellness. Mm-hmm. So I think what is very important to understand that leadership set the scene and set the tone for the culture in the organization to create psychological safety, but also a culture of respect and a culture of empathy, where we can speak about emotional vulnerabilities and we can also provide the support that people direly need in terms of the mental health. And we cannot afford to ignore it. There's business risk accompanying ignoring mental health in terms of absenteeism, presenteeism, increased staff turnover, and also even reputational damage.
Mm-hmm. Prof, when you're speaking about these terms, it just sounds so warm and fuzzy, and you'll find that there's a backlash to bringing these kind of terms into the workplace where people say, oh, you know, in my day, we didn't have this thing of mental health and you just needed to get into work, get on with it and go home and don't bring your problems into the office. And so even as you're saying, the conversation has been opened up, there are still those views that say that work is work. Doesn't matter what you're going through. You have a job to do. Do it and then deal with your things outside.
I think it's important that there be balance. Unfortunately, there is a little bit of a pendulum effect where previously it was toughen up, do your job, where it became a culture of people don't want to take any responsibility for their own personal well-being and they look at the employer to solve all problems. Mm-hmm. Now, that is also not the case. It must be a dual responsibility and a shared responsibility where employers can provide support, can help to raise awareness for mental health issues, can put in place flexibility in terms of attending sessions with your therapist or whatever, but you can or should also not abuse it. And unfortunately, there is a little bit of a snowflake situation where everyone is very precious and they do not take responsibility. We do not sleep, we do not exercise, we want to drink, we want to party, we sit on our phones the whole day and then run out of time and then complain we burn out. So there must be a balance. And I suppose there is a little bit of a backlash from employers in some cases where they have been burnt, when their employees also abuse the empathy and the generosity.
There's a real cost, though, to this issue of absenteeism and presenteeism, which is a word I've just learned today. Thanks for that. Of billions of rands when people are not well. And often, because of a culture that you've spoken about, people come into this environment and cannot cope with that. So what would you suggest to both people in companies who are in leadership positions who can see that certain employees are not coping? And then also if you are the employee in question and you're sitting at work and you think, I'm actually drowning here.
Firstly, it is important that leaders should model behavior. If you are a leader that is prepared to speak up when you are taking strain, so in vulnerability, there's courage. And that creates psychological safety then for employees. But also you need to make sure that you model good behavior in terms of self-care. I don't believe in the concept work-life balance. Work is part of our life, but there should be work-life boundaries. And there should be empathy and there should be processes in place. Now, not every organization can have in-house support and in-house facilities, but at least then cooperate and collaborate, I would say, with the mental health care professionals. In terms of the employee, when you do struggle with mental wellness, not speaking up perpetuate the stigma around mental wellness. If we look at HIV a decade or two ago, it was a huge stigma associated with. But we know it's treatable. We know if people speak up and there's more awareness, there's less misconceptions. And the same for mental health. It is worse not to speak up and your performance decreasing and declining and then you sit with a performance improvement process. Instead of reaching out and say, I need support, I need accommodations at work, whether it's temporary, just for me to be able to access the necessary support. But as I mentioned, there is the onus of personal well-being and self-care as well.
Of course. And so when we at this point in the year, I know anecdotally a lot of people are feeling tired and they are feeling like, ah, maybe I've got burnout. You hear that a lot. And there's a difference between just being tired where you need a couple of days of 8 hours or more of sleep and actual burnout. And how do you know when there's actually a problem and you need to speak up as an employee to say, I need help or I actually need time off for sorting myself out so I'm productive at work?
You are absolutely correct. I think we're far away from the winter holiday and the summer holiday is still a while to go. But there's definitely a difference between fatigue. When we're fatigued, when you didn't sleep well, when you have a very busy week of deadlines at work, rest will do you well. Even if it's one night of good sleep or a weekend of good sleep, but you feel refreshed afterwards and you feel that you can cope. However, burnout is a very clear occupational phenomenon acknowledged by the World Health Organization in May 2019 as a condition where there's a triad of depersonalization, emotional and mental exhaustion, and then decreased productivity. What that means is it's more than just fatigue. It doesn't improve with rest. It means you need to reach out for professional support. And symptoms that you can experience then is you lose interest and commitment to your work. You don't want to interact with your colleagues. Please just leave me alone. If my phone is going to ring one more time, I'm going to throw it. At the same time, the fatigue does not improve with rest, and it's associated with emotional, cognitive, and physical symptoms. So difficulty concentrating, difficulty taking decisions, might be having a depressed mood, anxiety, irritability, and even physical complaints, headaches, muscle tension, gastrointestinal problems. And often then we start to escape, whether it is by doom scrolling, binge watching, series, and even alcohol or other substances. And thirdly, we are working harder and harder, but we don't have the outcomes. So that is where the decreased performance comes in.
Interesting. You know, there's so much of, you were speaking about the boundaries earlier. There's so much use of one phones. When you're speaking about doom scrolling, if you go into almost any office, you will find that people are on their phones. It's not necessarily a work thing. It's a, oh, did you see this video that's trending? Or, oh, look at this piece of news, or look at the social media. And so there's a constant connectedness to online and all those things that is taking our attention collectively away from the work that we are meant to be doing. I think very few people, I could be wrong, but just work in a focused way without distractions. How does then that play on that stress or that burnout or not being able to fully focus and fully deal with the task at hand?
You are absolutely right. And that's where the personal responsibility comes in as well. The World Digital Wellness Report was published last year, and South Africans have the highest screen time per world.
No.
More than 8 to 9 hours a day. And it's not productive screen time. It's not productive screen time. Only about 4 hours of that is productive work-related screen time. We're all guilty. As you mentioned, you sit in the workplace and you have your phone next to you and you have more than one tab open and people are browsing things and watching YouTube clips or escaping into Insta or whatever the case might be. And then they run out of time and then they complain about the workload or feel overwhelmed because they try to do 8 hours work in 4 hours. So if we look then back, I often postulate that it's possible that, yes, we all have more work, maybe, but it also might be that in the past, those era where people say toughen up, they literally had more time because they wasted less time.
And so it's about us, is that a personal responsibility that you were speaking about, which is not easy because companies spend billions of dollars to try and get you to stay on their phones so you can watch things, consume content, buy things and the like. I would like to come back to the issue of people who are dealing with toxic leaders. Often there's a power dynamic that is at play where even if someone is a manager and bullying you or being unkind to you, if you are someone who has just entered the working world, you're quite young, even if you're in your 30s, you are not used to standing up for yourself and you're not used to the strangeness that is someone being malicious to you for no reason. You haven't gotten the tools quite yet to navigate that space. And perhaps you can't afford to go and get that psychological help. What do you do?
It is so important from a leadership perspective as well, or a more senior person, that we should have mentors in the workplace. If you start out in a new work, identify a mentor. And if you are more senior, make sure that you can be a mentor to new people and younger people that help to normalize what is normal. You know, some people really do grow up in very protective environments where they were completely sheltered and they're not used to even someone just being slightly offish with them or slightly, you know, not that fuzzy and warm. And then we so often label it with terms that is not accurate, like, oh, he's a narcissist. You know, and that's not necessarily the case. So it became a little bit of a culture to label any type of behavior or any diagnosis. And I'm worried about that because work is different and it is still workplace. So it might be for young people a strange environment where everything is not about them, but that there is still business going on. So my advice is really make sure that you have mentors, make sure that you have a team that can hold your hand, that can support you, for you to understand what is normal behavior and what is unacceptable bullying behavior. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you can be assertive without being rude. You can say, it's not okay to shout at me, or I would prefer that you do not talk to me in this way, or, you know, just put down what is acceptable behavior for you as well. Often people are not aware that they maybe talk louder than what they attend, or maybe they are more snappy than what they attend. And it's important to see where it becomes a pattern, because if it's a pattern, it's a problem. If it's a once off, maybe just have a little bit of thicker skin for the day.
I think there's another dynamic at play when it comes to the workplace in South Africa, is that we are all so different. We are all raised in very different homes, very different cultures. We often speak different languages. And I know, you know, one of our setting points as a country is that we're the rainbow nation and we come together. But there's very different ways of interacting with people, even when it comes to greeting and how you greet people. So if you're in certain work environments, you have to, people get offended if you don't call them by, you know, an honorific or a Mr. or a Ma or a Ntate, you know. And some people, I'm horrified in the profession that I'm in, where I have to use people's first names. And I just have my mom's voice in my head when I have to call someone who is older than me by their first name. But that's the culture there, right?
Absolutely. And so, managing that. So even something simple in terms of who greet first. If I grew up in a culture where a male always greet the woman first, and then the second rule is that younger greet older first. And if you come from a other culture, it might be you don't speak before the elders have not addressed you. So it is all of that. And I think it's good to clarify and just be open about it. And even with age-related stuff, you might grow up in a culture where if someone is 10 years older than you, it must get a title, as you mentioned, or a womb or a tani or something. Which can be highly offensive again in other cultures. So I think open conversation about it. But, you know, we shouldn't lose our sense of humor. We really shouldn't lose our sense of humor. And just clarify that. And a good assumption or a good principle is always to assume that the other person's language is not their mother tongue. Because we're often lost in translation. Your mother tongue might be Sesotho or Zulu. Mine might be Afrikaans. We both translate to English, but we do not understand the nuances of English. So for me, a basic principle in life, even if we speak the same language, we still don't speak the same language because we have different cultures and upbringings. So we might always be lost in translation.
Correct. One thing we haven't spoken about a lot is money, because that also affects so much in the workplace. We know that there's a gender gap when it comes to payment. I'm saying a very general statement because I don't have the statistic in front of me, but I know that women in South Africa often get paid at least half, less than what their male colleagues get paid. There's also dynamic along the lines of race, where someone who may be more educated but is of a different race will get paid less than someone who is of a different race with less education. And that also impacts how you feel, because if you feel you're being well remunerated for your work, someone is a bit weird to you, it's okay, because you know your bank account's chilling. It's good. On the other hand, when you feel you are underpaid, and then there's that layer of disrespect, it makes it worse. And And with also the challenges of unemployment, people are scared of speaking out, losing their jobs and the like. How do you manage that, and how do you make sure that you are getting paid what you're meant to be paid? Even if you're, you know, not at market related, you feel your salary is commensurate with what you're doing, and therefore when you come to work, if there are obstacles, you're not feeling resentful.
I do have to say that South Africa has made great strides in more equalizing that same pay for same position. Mm-hmm. It's not 100% equal.
Yeah.
The stats show that women are still lagging behind the bird, but in general, it has improved significantly over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I often remind people that you need to not only think in terms of cash at hand in the end of the month, but cost to company. People often forget the added benefits that they might have, whether it is medical insurance, whether it's paid leave, etc. And then also for women, you know, we have And I think there's more actually discrimination than against women that do not have kids versus women that do have kids, because many people have paid maternity leave. So, you know, you also have to look at that cost of company thing, that equalizer then. If you have three paid maternity leaves over your career and men don't have it, you need to look at that as well. But for me, it is that cost to company. And secondly, there is a new thing that I also have been witnessing, where people that enter the workplace for the first time often want remuneration, which they think is fair, but might be way more than what is market related for entry level position. So it is for me a little bit of a catch-22, where often companies want experience and often the new people do not have experience, and therefore there is maybe a bit of misuse in some organizations. But people should also be prepared to work their way up. And if you perform and you do your best, you can be rewarded. And reward is not always monetary. It might be in terms of opportunities that come along. You might be getting the opportunity to do a course or whatever. But just the meaning that you need to find for yourself also in terms of being employed. But once again, it goes both ways. There's companies that look very, very well after their employees, and there will always be companies that is not exemplary in the example and the tone they set.
All right, Professor Renata Skillman, it's been such a pleasure talking to you on Kaya Biz this evening. Thank you so much for your insight into workplace culture, how to deal with the many stresses and challenges that come, but also the opportunities that are there wherever you are in your career. Really appreciate your time on Kaya Biz this evening.
My pleasure.
All right, it's time for a short break. When we come back, we'll be speaking about medical aid. And if you are on a medical aid, maybe some bad news. We'll be speaking to Lesego Gampe, the Executive Director of Corporate Advisory Services at ASI Financial Services. Do stay with us here on Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.